Hello and welcome to The Summit, the podcast where we bring you knowledge and insights from industry leaders and professionals. No fluff, no double-digit overnight growth schemes. I'm your host, Kyle Hamm, and I'm on a mission to find secrets to success in business. We're having real conversations with real people on how you get answers and progress in your career and move your business forward. Today's guest joining us on The Summit is Derek Taniguchi. Derek, welcome to the show. Did I get it right?
Yeah, thank you. It's funny because, you know, we just talked about this.
Derek Taniguchi.
You
know,
you got it right. You got it right.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Kyle.
Welcome to the show. For those of you who don't know Derek, he's an award-winning COO at NetResults. As an experienced executive leader specializing in the implementation of operational frameworks and developing high-performing teams for early and second-stage companies, Derek's life goal of creating positive legacy through both his work, his life, and through his family and friends. Derek's life goal is creating a positive legacy through both his work, his life, and through his family and friends. His personal passion for continuous improvement, Kaizen, translated into a program he developed in 2013, the Employee Development Program, or EDP, which provides members with a playbook to take both their personal and professional lives to the next level. His ability to align his team and execute on the strategy has led him to serving as COO for several high-growth Colorado companies. In his free time, you'll find him spending time with his wife, daughters, and friends. And if that wasn't enough, he's an avid obstacle course racing competitor. Derek, did I miss anything except maybe the pronunciation of your last name?
No, that sounds perfect. It's always interesting hearing you actually sing it out loud, because I've never heard anybody do that. So no, you hit it.
Awesome. Well, today we're going to talk about creating culture and clarity during a time of crisis. I think you're uniquely positioned to kind of understand this, given your passions. But before we get into the topic, I really want to know, how are you and your people holding up with all that's going on in the world today?
Yeah, I mean, as a company, we're holding up well. I mean, from looking at it from an operational landscape, we've been able to work remotely. Productivity has actually increased. We've been able to sustain a culture that we've built. So everything's been great. I mean, you know, the reality on the other side is on the personal side, meaning, you know, there's always challenges of, you know, some of our team being at home alone. So we've actually worked through that and discussed it internally on how do we help out each other. So even this morning, we just had a morning social coffee where everybody just got online and started laughing and talking about life and the landscape and everything going on with the pandemic. So, you know, overall, I think we're doing well.
Having a morning coffee is a little different than a happy hour. I've heard a lot of people having happy hours. I love the idea of having a coffee. That's actually really cool. And I think it's a testament to your culture, but your culture didn't happen by accident. You guys have been pretty intentional about what you've built there. Am I right?
Yes, very intentional. And a lot of that stems from the EOS model, Entrepreneurial Operating System. And what that focuses, it focuses on six key components: vision, data, process, traction, issues, and people. So those are the six components of EOS. And really what that does is it enables us to have a healthy and sustainable culture. And we have a way to actually check if that culture, how it's doing. We do that in a couple of ways. We look at Gusto Team Insights, and then we also take a annual organizational checkup. So we do several things in order to check culture, check the operational efficiency and effectiveness.
Let's say it would have been 2 years ago that this had come up. Do you think your team, what you have going on, would be in the same spot they are today?
No, not at all. It's There's the common saying, they either say before Derek or before EOS. Michael, the CEO, calls it actually DOS, Derek Operating System, versus EOS, because what me and the team have done is we've added a little bit more than what EOS is, but through like the employee development program, some other things I've learned working and operating at other companies, we've put all that together here. And one big thing is having clear accountability, having clear roles, having a clear vision, having systemization, being transparent with every single person in the company. You know, how are we doing financially? How are we doing hitting our goals every quarter? We measure that and communicate at a state of the company every quarter. All of that was not here at the company in previously to me arriving, which is 2018 and prior. What we did as a company is we rebuilt a stronger foundation, and that's what it is. That's what it's about.
Okay, well, you talk about the things that maybe you're doing in the foundation, but it all of EOS builds itself around this idea of a vision. I can't imagine for half a second that before DOS for net results I don't think net results didn't have a vision. What do you think the biggest difference is in getting that first pillar or that first cornerstone right as you move into the EOS? Like, what was the big difference when it relates to vision that now allows people to be aligned today?
You know, I've talked about this a couple of ways. If you watch sports or you've ever been in the military, you have to understand where are we headed? What are we trying? What is our common goal? What are we all trying to achieve? In order to be successful, ask yourself, ask any coach, any team that's been very successful, if they've had a clear vision. Any successful team will say, yes, we have had a clear vision. And I think that's the key, is where are we headed? You know, it's like if you're steering a ship, what are the coordinates? Where are we headed to? Otherwise, you're just going endlessly to wherever, right? If you're on the battlefield, which direction do we head? Together, right? Sure, if you put people on the battlefield and you don't tell them where they're headed, what's going to happen is they're going to go every way. But if every single person on the battlefield knows where they're headed, you're going to see them march together forward. And that's the key, is to having a clear vision that everybody believes and is vested into, is they know where they're headed. And that's a core component of this model.
Okay. I mean, let's say I can get on board with that for half a second. And what I mean by that, get on board with that, is that I think there's a lot of leaders and a lot of owners or people, whether they're in management or otherwise, that think, hey, we're going to win the Super Bowl. That's a vision. Or, hey, we're going to be the world's largest coffee shop chain. That's a vision. Or, hey, we're going to take over. Our goal is to take over marketing automation.
Yeah.
What's the difference between those visions and what you're doing specifically with EOS? How is it tangibly different?
Well, first of all, those visions are more like statements and goals. It's not growth focused. And just based on those examples, for instance, our vision has meaning, right? It has meaning for the founder, as well as it has meaning individually. What our goal is our vision is to achieve our goals while living by the values we believe in, right? To be the best version of ourselves and to live balanced lives on this journey together. That is our vision. It's not we're gonna dominate the industry, right? That's not our vision. That's like a goal outside of the vision. And you probably heard something about being the best version of ourselves, to live balanced lives. That actually is tied to something that's key, which is core values. Core values are key because it keeps us together. It keeps the team consistent in the way we're thinking when we have to make hard decisions, right? Because, for instance, our core values are: we deliver success, we expect transparency, we solve problems together, we continuously improve, we live balanced lives, and we persist. So what that does is when we're on this journey together, heading towards our vision, what these values do is it keeps us in check. When we're making decisions, whether it's at the team level or leadership level, our decisions, a lot of them, majority of them, almost all of them, are based on these values. And these values are actually is how we hire as well, and how we sometimes separate from team members, because that's what we call right person, right seat. With the values in addition to the clear responsibilities and what that person's accountable for, we check if they're a fit for the values of the company. And I think that's key in this journey together towards that vision. And it's interesting because we actually also do performance evaluations, and part of that performance part one, well, it's more like the second section of part one of performance eval is checking: does this person fit the values plus minus or minus? And we go through as managers and check that, and we as managers are evaluated as well.
So when you got there, and you said at the top of the segment that no, you wouldn't be where you're at today 2 years ago as you got here. Mm-hmm. You had a vision of some sort. But I think a lot of people would say, hey, Derek, I've got core values, man. People first, integrity, say what you do what you say, you know, Taco Tuesday, whatever your core values are, like, they have core values. What makes it different in your system, and what makes it different for net results?
So what makes it different is that I think what happens in the world and from a individual basis is you're going to get a lot of people who say they have values. I'm not saying they don't have values, but the difference is if you go and ask that any person on the street, hey, what are your values? They're going to tell you what their values are. But you're going to see them struggle and talk about them. And then you're going to also learn some of those aren't values. It's more of it's just a statement. It's not how you live by, right? And then go back a day or two later or a week later and then ask them again, what are your values? I would bet you money that what they tell you that second time is different from the first time. The difference is that our values, they're clear, it's transparent, it's part of the system. It's intertwined with the vision, it's intertwined with the system. Meaning every single person knows these values. In fact, we have weekly, what we call, it's a game show, it's a trivia. So we go through something called the VTO, Vision Traction Organizer. And some of those questions are, you know, what is our core focus, meaning the vision or the purpose? We ask, what are the values? We ask our team. And because we hire based on values, we think it's important that we live and breathe our values. So by asking a team, it's trivia. I could tell you the difference between when I first came here and, you know, now a little bit over a year later. If you were to walk in the office in 2018 and you asked a person what are our values, they're probably, what are you talking about? Why do you want to know the values? And you could say, no, I meant the values of the company. How do you live and breathe? What does a company live and breathe by? They look at you crazy. today you go inside the office, or technically you called or did a video hangout in this current landscape, and you said, hey, what are your values? What are your company's values? Every single person in the company will be able to tell you our values, because they live and breathe by it. They make decisions, how they work with customers, how we work with partners, vendors, everybody we work with, we live by these values. We lead by example. Everything that I do or that any of my teammates do, that's a direct reflection of the company. And if we're not living by these values, that means it's not reflecting well on the company. We're not a good representative of the company. So it's key to live by these company values. I've heard some people talk about it being like cult-like. And it's funny. It's like living by values, that doesn't seem cult-like, especially if the values make sense. I mean, a cult doesn't say we want to continuously improve. I mean, that's like something I think if you're growth-minded, you should believe in that. And so there's a big difference between previously, before EOS or DOS to now, is everything's clear. What is our vision? What are our values? Again, transparency into metrics and where we're headed and how we're doing and how we're going. What is the path like? What does our traction look like getting there? The processes are all laid out. We're able to solve issues. I mean, that to me, all of those items, in addition to a program that focuses on personal and professional growth, that's culture. That's what makes up culture. It's not fancy words. It's not slogans on the wall. It's not having snacks in the office. It's not having catered lunches, right? It's all about the overall foundation. That is what creates culture and the key components of that foundation. Oh, I think I'm having an issue. Sorry, hearing you. Let's see. Yeah, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
There it goes. I can hear you now. Yes, oh. I can hear you now.
Maybe I should have unmuted myself instead of muting myself.
I actually did that earlier in a meeting. I started talking and everybody's like, Derek, you're on mute. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's on me. So you just talked about the elements that are required for creating this culture. You got the vision, you got to have values, and how people behave ends up becoming the culture. But there's an underlying element that you talked about in getting alignment. The VTO. Why is the VTO in reviewing it and having everybody understand that particular item so important to creating the culture that allows you to survive chaos?
So the VTO stands for a Vision Traction Organizer, and that consists of your core values, your core focus, which is your vision, your purpose, your niche. It provides your 10-year target. It also provides your 1 and 3 year goals. What does that look like from a revenue, profit, measurables? And then it's truly, what does it look like? It could be, for instance, as a company, we're able to pay everybody above market salaries, right? That's what it looks like. And in addition, it has our marketing, like demographic, geographic, firmographic, has all of that clearly laid out so that everybody knows, okay, these are the type of customers we're going after. So everybody's clear on that. So that's key. And the VTO has all of this compiled in one place. How many companies, Kyle, have you worked with that have everything that I just said compiled into a 2-3 page document that's accessible by everybody.
Well, I would say that the majority of the companies that I've worked with think they have that compiled into a 2-3 page document, but really there's either A, not enough, there's not enough detail to make it feel like a plan, or B, there's too many platitudes to make it feel meaningful. So a lot of companies struggle to strike the balance between detail and inspiration in pulling off the VTO. What makes your cocktail or your mix work?
When you, what, something I heard is platitudes and detail. I think it's a weird, it's detailed, but it's not over detailed. But I'd say it's like key components, right? Because here's what I say to any company. Most companies, they do have a marketing plan, right? I mean, you're in marketing, you're in marketing operations, you consult on that. So some companies go, well, what do you think is the bare minimum we need to have? You know, pure, let's just say pure EOS consultant, the purity in it says, well, you need to have the whole thing. You know what I say? I say, you know what? Obviously, you have some goals. A lot of companies have some goals, right? Focused on having values and you know what your vision, your purpose, and your niche is. Those things together are key. They are the backbone to how you could get traction as a company and stay on course. Because again, if you're hiring, okay, let's think about, for instance, Uber. What's going on there in the last several years? Lawsuits, sexual harassment. I'm sure there's some level of embezzlement. I don't know. There's a lot of going on. And you can think of various companies that go through this. Do you know why? Because they're just hiring to fill seats. And they don't even know if those seats, if the right person is there. But if they're thinking, you know what, we're gonna hire based on some values and make sure that when we hire the person, they're clear on our vision and what we're trying to achieve. Where our journey is leading to. If they could get aligned with that and we know they're aligned, that's key. One thing we do, for instance, is we actually have, when we interview, we have an assessment that's actually a conscientiousness assessment. And because if a person's conscientious, when it comes to solving problems together, which is one of our core values, if a conscientious person, they're going to be collaborators because they're going to be thinking about, you know, how does this affect, you know, my teammate over here or this department? They're conscientious. They're always self-aware and aware of their surroundings. We have team members take that assessment. And that's how we hire. That's one of the ways. So the thing is when you said, you know, companies think they have it, or think they have it on paper, you know, we have it on paper and it's very, very clear. I would share this out with anybody. It's not a secret. It's really no secret. I'd share it out with any competitor. I would, because it's no secret. The key is the differentiator. If you want to know the differentiator, someone could try to replicate this, but I got to ask them. Are you living and breathing by this vision traction organizer? Does your whole team, are they aligned? Do they live and breathe by the values, by the vision? Do they live and breathe that? Majority of time, when you go into these companies, you're going to find people, they're there to collect the paycheck. I call those renters. We want, when I speak about ownership mentality, when you live and breathe the values and you believe you're vested into the vision and the steps and everything it takes to get there, you're an owner. That's what it comes down to. That's a big differentiator.
That is a big differentiator. And I think, you know, if we talk about navigating crisis, I'm going to comment on a couple of things and then I'll switch up for the next question here. But I'm a big Nebraska Cornhusker fan. And anybody who knows anything about Nebraska football knows that in the 1980s and 1990s, they had their own version of the their EOS or the VTO, and it was out there everywhere. You knew they were going to run right, you knew they were going to run left, and they were going to run up the middle. And about every third play, they were going to do some sort of option play. Mm-hmm. The playbook was pretty vanilla. What they did was pretty basic. And everybody knew what was coming, and they still couldn't stop it. So I love the level of confidence that you have when you're like, look, I'll share out what we do for our VTO with anybody, including our competitors, because, hey, you have to learn to live it. You have to learn to be it. You have to learn to not only live, breathe it, and do it, but it has to become a way of life. You have to execute. Those are the elements that I'm taking away. And if I miss something, please correct me. But my question to you is okay, I'm in the middle of a crisis. I haven't built the reputation. I haven't built the stability. Mm-hmm. I haven't done these things yet.
Uh-huh.
How do I do this right now? Or how can I navigate this? I'm going to take my DOS system. I've listened to this podcast and I've listened to Derek talk. And I'm like, yeah, I need that. How do I do that tomorrow or even today for my company, for my team, for myself?
Yeah. You know, that's a very good question. And it all starts with the person at the top. So if you're saying that, you, Kyle Hammer, and you're saying, you know, I need this, you're the owner of your own company, right? You are the principal CEO. That's great. You have to be committed and you have to know that this isn't a short game. It's a journey. It's a long game. So if you're really committed and you read the book Traction, or you read the book What the Heck is EOS, and you're like, you know what, I really believe in this. Well, believing and committed are two different things, right? You got to say, okay, I'm committed to the long game, and it's going to be challenging, it's going to be painful, but I am committed to it. That's step number one. So any of the CEOs, even CEOs out there, founders, you're thinking, this all sounds great. Ask yourself and don't bullshit. Like, say, hey, you know what? This all sounds great, but can I really be on board with this for the next 10, 20 years? Can I? And you got to ask yourself and be truthful first, number one. So once you get past that, and let's just say you're like, I could do this. I know it's going to be painful. There's going to be challenges. It's going to take a lot of effort. I know what the fruits of the labor will be. Great. Next step is there's several things. You could try to implement it yourself. And the best way is through resources on the Traction Inc. or the EOSworldwide.com website. You could hire an EOS coach. There's, I think, about 14 here in Colorado, and there's probably hundreds across the U.S. and thousands across the globe. I know this spans globally. You could get an EOS coach, you know, in just to be transparent. I know in the U.S. you're going to be paying $3,000 to $10,000 a session. And that's the next step, talking about sessions. You got to take a two-day session. Two sessions that will go through building your vision Traction organizer, all the components of it, your vision, your values. You're going to build your accountability chart, which also is part of Right Person, Right Seat. What that shows is, I know a lot of you are like, what is accountability chart? It's really, when you look at it, you're going to be like, oh, that's an org chart. But no EOS person will call it an org chart. The big differentiator is that an accountability chart has clear responsibilities under each position on that chart. And you don't feel you don't, it's all about right person, right seat. So you don't create seats or positions for people. You create positions or seats based on where your company's trying to go. So you create the seats and then you find people to fill them. So you're going to go through that process. And then once you go through those initial 2 to 3 to 4 sessions, it varies for each EOS coach. You're gonna have this cadence where, you know, ongoing, you're gonna have what we call level 10 meetings, and it's at the leadership level, and you're gonna have L2, L3 level, which is like leadership, and then you might have management or executives, and then middle management, and then your team. Each level within various departments have these level 10 meetings, and they're like on a weekly or biweekly basis. And then outside of those meetings, you're going to have strategic initiatives called ROCs. And that's part of the traction component of EOS. You're going to learn what those are. And that's a key component because that's how you get shit done, honestly. It's what is the most important thing you need to complete for your company as a company that quarter? And you're going to work as a company to complete that. And you're going to do that every single quarter. You're going to learn all of this, and you're going to have state of the company every quarter to provide, again, transparency. You're going to go through this whole process. And again, you could try to implement this on your own, or you could hire an EOS coach. But I could tell you this. You go through this process, it's going to be transformational. I've heard, you know, actually Michael used to hear about EOS and just like, that's ridiculous. He's like, culture, that's for wimps. You know, and this is probably 5 years ago. And then, you know, he started seeing companies and learning more. And he was like, you know, culture is key. It's key to companies' traction, growth, and sustainability. I guarantee you, if Jim Collins was here and he was talking about good grade, built to last, sure, you got systemization and good, some good leaders, decent managers, but if you don't have some kind of a model foundation and you don't have that culture that stems or is built from that culture, from that foundation, you're not going to sustain. You're not going to be a sustainable business at the end of the day. And so it's key. And you're not going to look back. If you stay committed, even in times when you're like, I don't know, is this working? You just got to believe in it. It takes about a year to 2 years for it to be really, I would say one full year is like, you're going to see traction after a year easily. You're going to look back and be like, wow, we are a different company. Year two, you're going to be like, okay, this is a true year of traction. We've rebuilt our foundation year one. Year two, that's a year of true traction. You're going to see some velocity. I guarantee it. As well, as long as you are committed and you're doing it right. I could guarantee you that.
What it sounds to me like, I mean, you talk about it, but it sounds to me like in many ways, it's businesses, well, humans in general, have personal goals and they'll hit a moment of crisis and they'll say, all right, it's January 1st, I'm going to lose weight. So they go buy a $10 membership to Planet Fitness.
Yeah.
And they go and they sit in the locker room. They go look at the treadmill. They may maybe turn it on. They go back and sit in the locker room and they go home and they're like, I worked out for 30 minutes, but the amount of time they spent on the treadmill was a minute, maybe 10. That goes on for a couple weeks and they're like, oh, obviously I'm not making the transformation that I want. I'm good. I'm done. A couple months later, they're having a moment of crisis and they're like, oh my gosh, I got to look great in my body. My body is going to look great for the summer, my bikini or mountain climbing or whatever my cup of tea is, drinking wine, whatever. Got to look good. So they go back to the gym and this time they give it a little bit more stuff. And lo and behold, a couple weeks later, they quit. If that person gets a little more intentional and looks at, hey, I'm actually going to make a lifestyle change. And this isn't about a one-time fix or a short-term gain. This is about setting myself up for success long-term. And maybe for a period of time, I need a personal trainer. Or maybe for a period of time, I can't afford a personal trainer, but I'm going to resource everything that I possibly can to have the knowledge, at least some framework and understanding, so that I can begin creating momentum. And then staying committed to it over a period of time, they'll see a transformation. Yeah. It sounds to me like you're saying the exact same thing holds true for a business, even if they're in a moment of crisis, where it's like, hey, I know what I want. I got to set my vision and optics on that, and then have to be willing to sacrifice things that are uncomfortable, maybe the things that I love, beer, or if it's in business for a period of time, it's, I don't know, maybe it's your favorite relationship with somebody that's a vendor that's not working. Like, you have to make changes in order to realize that vision and not expect it to change overnight, right? You have to be committed to it long term. That's what I hear you saying.
100%. And I like how you said it, because you really said it in a relatable way. And I will say this. So when we do personal or professional development, there's one key thing that needs to happen in order to achieve success: consistency. If you are consistent, more than likely, you have a greater chance of success than the person who's inconsistent or volatile. You know, you could see people who are, just like you're saying, you know, you're engaged for, you're like, I gotta lose weight. I see this every single year at the gym. I used to be 205 pounds. I was severely overweight, obese. I grew up athletic. Then for about 10 years, I got out of control. And you know what? I could tell you this. For 3 years, just like EOS, two, three years, man, it was a struggle. I wasn't a skinny guy like I used to be, but I knew that I was making progress. I built a foundation that I continued to be consistent on. Hey, you know what? Lifestyle, change your lifestyle. Work out, try to eat better. If that's portion control, then do that. Just be consistent every day. Sure, you fall off maybe one or two times, but you know what? It's better than that. Being consistent to get back on the wagon and continue. And that's the same thing with business. And that's the same thing when we talk about EOS. It's the same thing we talk about in personal and professional development. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm not asking you to never fail. I'm just asking you to be consistent generally across the board. If you could be consistent, then you're going to have consistent results. And it's just key, that one word, consistency.
I don't really think there's a better way to wrap up on this particular topic than with that thought, which is consistency is key. We don't necessarily, I've heard it over and over, we don't have to chase hyper growth. We don't have to expect tomorrow for the virus to go away and the chaos to leave and everything to be okay. But if we can find consistency, sounds like we can survive it and potentially put ourselves in a much more successful place 18, 24, 36 months from today.
Yep.
I want to really appreciate, I want to say thank you, Derek, for coming on today and sharing some of the framework of EOS, helping business owners, business leaders, managers, get a perspective on how they can build a framework, create communication plans, core values, and at least begin putting together the structure for a better culture so that they can navigate whatever chaos is thrown. We're in the middle of chaos now. It's going to go away, and there will be another one that comes around. But I want to thank you for being willing to share and with your generosity of information. It's been great to have you on the show.
No, thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And I know it's a hard time, hard landscape right now, but we're all going to get through it. I believe that. As a community, we will stick together and support each other. And that's key, is that consistent support of each other. And I want to thank you for, again, having me and giving me this kind of like seat to be able to talk about what I'm passionate about. So thank you.
We're glad that you're passionate, because we need poor people like you who have a command and understanding of things, sharing it out there and helping the rest of us understand. If somebody has questions, What are some good EOS resources? You've listed them. What's a way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can get in touch with me a couple of different ways. I'm on LinkedIn, Derek Taniguchi, and I'm sure you'll have some information on that on this podcast.
Yes, I will.
So I'm on LinkedIn. You can reach me at derek@net-results.io. So there's those two ways. Resources-wise, if you want to learn more about EOS, you could go to eosworldwide.com. You could go to YouTube, actually, and type in EOS Worldwide or Traction, and you're going to find videos about EOS. But, you know, the key to that, I think the key to really understanding and getting the initial resource, the best way to get it kind of high level is go and either listen or read the book. What the heck is EOS? That's a great book. It's like a summary of the book Traction.
Yep. If you're interested, if you're listening, like you're listening to this podcast, I believe the what the heck is EOS is 90 to 120 minutes long as an audiobook. It's an easy listen. It's quick. Yeah. And it does give you a lot of foundational parts. For those that have tuned in today and have listened to the summit, we've just had Derek talking Taniguchi. We've just had Derek Taniguchi on the phone. We've just had Derek Taniguchi sharing with us about how people can create culture even in the midst of chaos and crisis. We thank you for listening. The resources we've talked about will be listed on both the blog as well as in the summary of the specific episode. Thank you for tuning in, and until next week, keep trucking forward. If you're going to fail, fail fast, fail hard, fail often, but fail forward. Thanks for listening to The Summit. I'm your host, Kyle Hamer, and we'll talk to you next week.